Welcome to Get Up. I am Dan Graziano in for Greeny.
I'm nervous as hell, y'all. I'm scared. I mean, I'm going to just say it. I'm scared.
Be carrying him on my back once again, and the world gets to see it.
Everything is better in HD. That's why I got Harry Douglas.
We just paying checks to anybody to come on TV.
Hell to the nah.
Turn up in New York City, baby.
Hold on for a second. Everybody just hold on.
We're about to show them what's up.
Come on, hands. Don't let me down. I'm going to sip my tea. Y'all know why.
Today's edition of Get Up is brought to you by the word phenomenal.
Let the church say amen.
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 All Cowboy fans make me sick. I can't stand y'all. I say that with love and affection.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. A fan of the Yankees game, take a look at this, pokes a hole in his hot dog and uses it as a straw.
You don't drink beer out of a straw anyway. Like, who does that? That's not even a thing.
Please don't do it.
Let's move on, Nikki.
Ooh.
I didn't plan on my nerves getting bad this morning.
Oh my goodness, that straw thing, I can't unsee that. Welcome back to Get Up. Coming to you live from the C4, we're brought to you by Chase. We got all our guys here, Sam Otto, Jeremy Fowler. We got Jeff Saturday waiting in the wings. So, Chrissy, let's go to it and get up with the Super Brawl in Cincy. The Rams and Bengals swinging helmets at joint practice with Aaron Donald in the middle of all of it. Should he be suspended? We'll talk about that. Plus, Trey Lance shut out in his final dress rehearsal. Is he really ready to take over in San Francisco? Our experts will show you the plays that worry them. And Aaron Rodgers just can't stop gushing about Devontae Adams. How much is he going to regret losing his favorite target? We'll talk about that and a lot more as we get up with you this morning and go straight to that video that everybody's talking about this hour. A massive brawl between the Bengals and Rams yesterday forced both teams to halt their intra-squad practice. Now, the melee broke out during a team drill featuring the Bengals' first-team offense and the Rams' first-team defense. Look at it here. You got Aaron Donald swinging a helmet multiple times. And keep watching. It's like he has two helmets in each hand, and he's just swinging it right there, that Bengals helmet. Several people weighing in on the brawl on Twitter. R. Ryan Clark said, I'm not going to say Aaron Donald committed assault to make folks happy. I'm just not. This happens in football. It doesn't make it right, but in a sport that operates without the transcripts of law, and this is one of those cases, this will be handled by football folks. And former offensive lineman turned analyst Jeff Schwartz tweeted, fights happen. We know that and accept it. However, swinging a helmet is out of control and dangerous. He should be suspended. So let's bring our guys right back in. And Jeff, what's your reaction to this video?
Yeah, disappointed, obviously. I mean, you got one of the faces of the league, swinging helmets. And I'm sure if he could get it back, he would. He lost control and made a bad decision in doing this. And listen, in the heat of emotion and battle and all the things they were going through, and, you know, I'm sure he's taking punches. It all got way out of control. And it's disappointing to see. Anytime this is the way we're leading a show with football, this ain't the way we want to start it. So from a football player perspective, it's obviously disappointing. As far as the suspension, though, I don't think he's going to be suspended. I think I'm sure the league has sent the Rams a little letter of saying, hey, you have to handle this internally. Let's make sure there's a fine here that's appropriate. But disappointing to see two of your best teams in the NFL having this happen. We understand that the skirmishers are going to bring brought up. Listen, I played for a coach in Tony Dungy who, he fines you in practice like you would be fined in a game. So wow. He ejected you out of practice and you took that $15,000 fine. If you threw hands in a practice, because he said, listen, we're getting ready for games. So if this is what you do in a game, you're going to be ejected and you're going to have to pay this fine. So disappointing. I'm sure that Aaron, whenever he addresses it, will know that he has regret in that. But, again, I don't think a suspension is what's going to happen. I think he's going to be fined.
Yeah, you look at Donald. He's got his helmet on and two helmets, one in each hand. Jeremy, what are all the tentacles of all this moving forward?
Well, from the NFL perspective, I'm told this is very clear. The clubs are not responsible for overseeing the conduct of players in joint practices. And so it's up to the LA Rams to decide. I checked with somebody with the Rams just now. I was told that they are reviewing the matter, that they're going to look at the tape. They're going to have some conversations about that. But it's largely going to be up to head coach Sean McVay to levy a potential fine here. Nothing determined yet.
We would be having a very different discussion if he was swinging that helmet with somebody who wasn't wearing a helmet and there was a serious injury in all this. Sam, if you look at this, what do you think?
Yeah, well, thankfully, everyone there had helmets on, right? So thankfully, we're not having that discussion that you're talking about. But I think that in football, when it comes to in the trenches, emotions get hot and high. And no, I'm not excusing by any means what Aaron Donald did. But also, you think about what led to this. There have been brawls going on consistently throughout these last couple days with this team specifically, at least yesterday. There was talks of players for the Bengals taking off helmets and throwing them at other players. And so, for me, it's hard for me just to look at this clip and say, he should be suspended without going back and saying, hey, let's review the other tape as well. It's almost like we have this desire to just watch 30 seconds or something without looking at what happened in 3 minutes or 30 minutes before.
Yeah, it's always important. We want to see the full context. So, Jeff, I come back to you for the last word on this.
Yeah, again, I don't think anybody is trying to justify what he did. It's definitely wrong. You don't want to see it. But again, the NFL is pretty clear on the way this gets handled. And anytime it's in a practice, it gets handled through the team. Again, disappointed in that it happened at all and that we have to address it, but we are. Again, I don't think anybody's justifying his actions or saying what he did was right. But ultimately, we'll see how the Rams and Sean McVay handle it.
And what we've seen in all this, nobody hurt, so I'm just happy nobody was hurt in all of this, at least as far as we know.
Yeah, coaches love these because they feel like it's a controlled environment where nobody gets hurt. They can stay off injury, but they are scared to death of these fights. I was at Jets-Giants yesterday. They cut that thing out 90 minutes, in and out, vanilla, like they don't want any problems.
Yeah, we even saw it on Hard Knocks, by the way. Dan Campbell saying to his team, hey, I want you guys playing tough, no fights. It's like they don't want to cross that line, but that's what happened here. Let's go right to the game of the night, you guys. Get back on the football field. Trey Lance and the Niners taking on the Texans. And this one, we'll focus on Trey Lance. First quarter, first possession for the Niners. Lance being chased, tosses to Kyle Juszczyk, who makes the catch. 15 yards, first down. Later in the drive, third and two. Lance drops back. Lofting the long pass to Debo, who cannot reel it in. Sam, up and down night for him.
Yeah, ball looked a little bit underthrown, but great play by Steven Nelson on the back end. Armbar, great deflection.
And then here, he gets sacked by Kurt Heinisch. So next play after this, second and 17, Lance trying to connect with George Kittle. Doesn't make it happen. The drive would end in another punt. Late first quarter, inside their own 20, Lance to Malik Turner, 14 yards, first down. He finished 7 for 11 on the night, 49 yards. And here he is reviewing his performance on the night.
Some ups and downs for sure. Never feels good to lose. But, man, we'll learn from it, turn the page. Not going to make a bigger deal out of it than we need to for sure. But, man, like I said, man, never feels good to lose. Some ugly stuff out there for sure.
Yeah, not good. But he's played 5 series this preseason, completing 11 of 16 passes, 141 yards, and a touchdown. Didn't throw an INT, but he's been sacked twice. He also added 8 rushing yards on 2 carries. And the 49ers open the regular season against the Bears in Chicago on September 11th. So, Sam, what was your single biggest takeaway from Trey Lance's performance last night?
Well, obviously, he was being pressured left and right. That was probably my biggest takeaway. He was getting pressured from all angles, and Jerry Hughes did a great job getting pressure on the quarterback. But another takeaway that I had from a defender's perspective is ball security. If I'm watching tape on him and say, hey, we're going to get a chance to play the 49ers, I'm looking at that ball. This was a 3rd and 17, and obviously this play was called back as a penalty on the back end, but I'm saying you have a quarterback who likes to scramble, a quarterback who's been loose with the ball a little bit, not a fumble yet, but there's a play later in the game where the ball was deflected. It wasn't a fumble, but it could have been. Those are the plays that I'm looking at from the defender's point of view and saying we can capitalize on this when the regular season comes.
And look, we're nitpicking a little bit, but this is a guy who's only thrown like 70 so passes in the league so far in his career. So, Jeff, what did you see from Lance last night that you'd like to see improve?
Yeah, it's exactly what I expected, in all honesty, Ryan. And to your point, he's thrown less than 400 passes in college and pro combined.
Wow.
So I think your expectation, this is what it should look like, right? He has a play early. To Sam's point, he gets rushed. Hughes is chasing him. He wants that back, right? You want to make that completion. You run to the sideline. Here's a deep ball to Debo Samuel. Again, defensive back makes a heck of a play to knock this thing down. But again, as a quarterback, you want that thing back. Stretch it out there a little further. And this is a must-have. Kittle a little short out right there. You got to put that ball on him, let him catch it, and go get a first down and convert there. So there are some things he's going to go away. There was nothing pretty about it. But again, let's talk about perception and reality. In reality, in the real season, on a 3rd and 2, they're probably not a deep bomb to Debo Samuel. They'll use his legs more in a zone read. They'll bring more of the offense in. And then another thing, Jerry Hughes was absolutely creating chaos in the backfield all night long. So if a quarterback doesn't have experience and is getting pressure, those things are devastating for a quarterback. He'll continue to learn. 49ers fans are going to have to get accustomed to this. He's going to have some highlight days and some really ugly days. That's the process of developing a quarterback, and it's going to be no different for Trey Lance.
So, Jeremy, what are you hearing about Lance's progress so far?
Yeah, when I talk to teams around the league, a theme emerges. They say that the 49ers will be less efficient under Trey Lance because he's still learning, but they're going to be more explosive. He can hit the deep ball. He can run the ball. That they're going to have those splash plays maybe they didn't have under Jimmy Garoppolo. And so the problem is, you don't have the splash plays like last night. It can look a little pedestrian. Now, one scout I was texting with pointed out, like, Kyle Shanahan wasn't showing all that much last night. Probably a little vanilla game plan. They're going to be really exotic come game day. Ball in misdirection, that's going to help Trey Lance look a little better.
Right. He's going to run a lot more, which is what they want. But, Jeremy, you can't talk about Trey Lance without talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. He's still on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
What's the timeline as it concerns him moving forward?
Well, you're looking at week one. That's when his salary locks in. You're talking about $24 million that would be guaranteed at that point around September 10th, that Tuesday of game week. And so that's the hard deadline that the 49ers are working around right now. Another deadline is next week with roster cuts getting down to 53 players. That could create some urgency with some talks league-wide on a potential trade. But I just checked with some people around the league. They say that, you know, there really isn't a huge market right now. It's not like there's anything buzzing league-wide about a Jimmy Garoppolo trade. Cleveland Browns right now, as far as I've heard, are prepared to stand pat with Jacoby Brissett and other options. Maybe that changes in the next 4 days before roster cuts.
Kind of a shame for Jimmy G. Did all that in San Fran, yet can't seem to catch a cold around the league. So, Sam, I ask you, is Trey Lance ready to lead a Super Bowl contending team at this point?
No, but this is the preseason, right? Like, this is still the preseason. There's still a few weeks before the season starts, and there's still going to be some growing pains early in the season. We talked about it. In the preseason, all you're seeing are vanilla defenses. When the regular season comes up, you're going to see more complex defenses, different types of pressures and different types of blitzes, even different types of disguises. And so you're going to go through a little bit of growing pains, but that's why you have such a great team around him defensively, a top 10 defense. And then you have, that's why you sign back the players that you signed back. That's why you have Trent Williams and George Kittle. That's why you get Deebo Samuel to help get your young quarterback ready for when it really matters, right? Win early, but November football, December football, and now even January football. I think he will be ready when it matters, but right now, you're still in a lot of ways a rookie figuring out what the game looks like.
Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, listen, let me take it back a little bit to what Jeremy was just saying. This is much bigger with the Jimmy G situation than I think people understand. It's much more, it's much bigger than just the money. And I get the 24, 26, whatever the money is that he's guaranteed. Shanahan has been involved with this with RG3 and Kirk Cousins being on the same. He understands what happens if Trey Lance continues to struggle early in the season, and what fans are going to be saying, what guys maybe in the locker room are saying. And I get the teams, like, we've moved on. This is Trey's team. Guess what? Them grown men in the locker room whose checks depend on playoffs, going to Super Bowls, those kind of things, they aren't sold out yet, right? So they understand it's not just the money. It's about moving on, so there is no plan B, right? It is Trey Lance's team. We have fully committed to him. Again, all the draft numbers, all those people are like, oh, they've definitely committed. Not if that dude's still in the locker room. And I've been a guy who said, let's keep Jimmy G in case he doesn't play well. He's only taking you to a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship game in 3 years. So when he is healthy, he has done good things for this football team. He may not have the upside. They win. So I'm not really sure what you're looking at. But if I'm Shanahan sitting in that thing, it's more than just the money. It's, can I deal with the distraction for an entire season if Lance doesn't meet the expectations of the fan base and the locker room?
It's a great point. Not having Jimmy G there takes all that controversy away and says we're riding with Trey Lance or bust. And that's what they're doing. Well, coming up, speaking of quarterbacks, did you hear what Aaron Rodgers had to say about Davante Adams last night? How much is he going to regret losing his favorite target? Plus, Tampa Tom's tune-up. Why Saturday night's preseason game is more important than you think for Brady's Buccaneers. Come on, get up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back with the NFL, Chiefs hosting the Packers on Thursday. Patrick Mahomes starts on the field as the Chiefs honoring the late Hall of Famer Len Dawson. The offense recreates that choir huddle moment. Take a look at this iconic image of Len Dawson in the Chiefs choir huddle. Few seconds later, Mahomes jogs off, hypes up the crowd. Wouldn't play a snap in this game, but a great moment there. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't play either, so it was Jordan Love's night. And then first quarter, Love's to Romeo Doubs for 13, right down the middle, first down. Later in the drive, second quarter, Tyler Goodson with the carry. Rumbles all the way to the Chiefs defense and into the end zone. Nifty spin move there. Gets the touchdown with Love leading the way. Packers up 7-3. Later in the second, pack down 3. Love to Amari Rodgers, extending the drive. Then Samori Toure, over the middle, tries to get to the end zone. Stopped just short at the 1. The Pack would have to settle for a field goal to score tied at 10. So under 30 seconds left to go in the second. Score tied at 10. Love forcing it into triple coverage. Not a good idea. Brian Cook picks it off. Love, 16 for 26 on the night, 148 yards in that INT. Chiefs win, but Rodgers, after the game, speaking about Devontae Adams.
I have so much love and gratitude for that man. The way he made my job so much easier. We obviously miss him. I was watching some of his highlights the other day. You know, he's one of those transcendent players. You know, I think of him like a Steph Curry. People trying to copy him, but it's just you can't do it because you're not Devontae. So we can try and teach it and help our guys out. But at the end of the day, there's only one Devontae, and we're going to miss him. But we're going to find a way with the guys we got. I love our young group of guys. They're coming together.
Giving some praise to his guys, too. Fair enough. Just to be fair there, Rodgers definitely had reason to speak so highly of Adams. But it's likely going to take a big effort to, on his end, to replace Adams' production on the field. This season, Adams was targeted 167 times on passes from Rodgers last season. Nearly 100 more times than the next closest player on the Packers, running back Aaron Jones. So, we look at this group, and Sam, we ask, can this group of wide receivers make up for the loss of Devontae?
Well, they can, and it won't just be the wide receivers. It'll be the running backs as well. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers, who's a four-time MVP, who has one of his MVPs before Devontae Adams, one of them when Devontae Adams was a rookie, wasn't really playing, and the last two with him. And so almost – and not that it doesn't matter who's out there, but Aaron Rodgers is so good at quarterback, he makes everyone else around him better. Matt LaFleur, offensive coordinator, pretty much calling the plays. He makes the system go. I've played Aaron Rodgers before. I've seen him do it without Devontae Adams. It's somehow, some way, that's why he's the best of one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He makes it work. And so last year we saw two running backs, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, catch 86 passes. There's been talks that they'll catch more balls this year if some of the young receivers don't step up. And so where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's an errand, there's also a way.
You know, we talk about it with the greatest players ever. They find a way to make everybody around them better. So, Jeremy, what are you hearing in conversations around the league about the Packers?
Yeah, the teams I talk to are giving him the benefit of the doubt because they say they're paying him $50 million this year to get this done. And that receivers in the past from Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, he's helped all these guys emerge as major weapons because of his mere presence. But we're talking a lot of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon in the backfield. You're going to see a different Packers defense. But also, this great stat from Hembo, five defensive players drafted by the Packers in the first round since 2019. So you see the receivers there. That's great. Not as accomplished. But that defense is going to be absolutely loaded and can carry some of that load.
Okay. And if they can carry a lot of load, that'll make a lot of difference for this team as the offense tries to get in shape. Jeff, what do you make of this?
Yeah, that list will look a lot different after this next year. All those numbers will be increased. Listen, when you're talking about a great quarterback, it's not just what he can do with his arm. It's the development of wide receivers. And you've heard it, whether it's Jordy Nelson, Cobby, Jones, Jennings. I mean, you continue to name names, and he will develop guys, even tight ends. And so I believe in this development of this football team. I think Matt LaFleur does a great job of scripting and helping guys get the ball and put them in good situations that will benefit them. We talked about the running backs, but I'm not gonna just let this roll here. Can we at least admit we're getting trolled by Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams? The whole Michael Jordan, Steph Curry, transcendent player, like blah blah blah. Like, these dudes are intentionally just toying. You could see him even like snicker after he said it. Like, they just the love fest can't continue this long taking shots at basketball players. All right, like let's move on from this and understand what's happening to us. Because look, it's created an entire segment for us just off that little sideline report.
You know, I know he's trolling us, but I just can't stop. Let's keep
That's
going.
Right. That's right.
You look at those numbers, Sam. You look at those numbers, and I want to put that graphic back up with Alan Lazard having the most receiving yards from last year, about 513. There it is. I know he's got to spread around the love, but can this Packers team, I know you're saying he's going to be great, but can they be as good as they have been over the last year or so without Devontae?
Yes. Yes, and part of it is because of the defense, but another part of it is there's a stat, even without Devontae Adams, I think though over the last few years, Aaron Rodgers' touchdown interception ratio was 19-1.
Ooh.
And so for me, I'm just looking at the stats and also watching the game and played against the guy. I've seen him do it before. Yeah. And so it's not this far-fetched idea, is it possible for Aaron Rodgers? No, he's done it before. And oh, by the way, Jeremy had a great point. Their defense will be that much better this year. And so can they make it far? They won 13 games last 3 years. Can they do it again? Yes. Look at the division they play in. Look at the defense they have. And look at the quarterback who's running the whole system.
Yep. If anybody can get it done, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And that list we're looking at, they got three recent draft picks for wide receiver. Like, those guys got to play.
That's
and
right.
they, one of those guys could be a star. We don't know yet.
True. That's what they're hoping for. So we'll see how it all plays out. Okay. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, guys, I want to show you this. Check out this Packers-Chiefs game fan.
I saw this.
Looks like Andy Reid's doppelganger in the stands. Oh, my gosh.
Yo, I saw this.
It's dead on.
Well, I saw this. They had this side by side of Andy Reid. I'm like, why are they showing the same picture? Why is he – like, this is creepy. This is – and, like, they're not smiling, none of it. This is great.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, a lot of free food and drinks in Kansas City for that guy. Guaranteed. ain't nobody tell the difference in that. He walks in, everybody's buying.
Yeah. If you see, when the camera pans a little bit, there's a guy who's also trying to look like him right next to him. You see him right there not doing as good of a job.
Yeah. Is that a real mustache?
I think it probably
is. That's legit.
Why are there so many? By the way, this is like the fifth time I've seen somebody impersonate Andy Reid. Why are there so many guys around who look like Andy Reid?
No, this one looks like the other one is a far cry away. But this one right here got the even the cheeks to the chin to all of it.
Yep.
Yeah. This guy's got it. All right, well, coming up, the biggest question in Steel City. What will Mike Tomlin do with his quarterbacks? Is there any way Kenny Pickett can win the job this weekend? We'll talk about that and a lot more when we come back. Come on, get up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Final weekend of preseason games, so the final dress rehearsal for teams. Jeff, what are you looking forward to seeing from Mac Jones this weekend?
Yeah, communication with Matt Patricia, whoever's calling offensive plays, right? Can we see the development of a second-year quarterback? And it's kind of been ambiguous, like who's going to be making these calls and what it's going to look like. But I'd like to see the consistent development of this young quarterback who had a promising start last season. But that's what I'm looking for.
Okay, Sam, what are you looking to see from Baker Mayfield?
I'm looking for confidence and comfort. Last week, Baker Mayfield had a 13-play scoring drive. I'm excited about that, but I'm more excited about what he does against the Bills. I get it. It's the preseason, but the Bills' defense was the number one defense in the NFL last year, and in the preseason included, they've looked like it. So I want to see what he does against this Bills' defense now that he's been named the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
And Jeff, back to you. Tom Brady playing this weekend. What are you looking to see from Brady?
Communication between the interior three, right? He had 2,000 reps with the guys who are now gone from Tampa. He's got new bodies, you know, Jensen with the injury as well. So when you're having these conversations, Tom Brady, he's been doing this 25 years. No big deal for him. But how he communicates in the pocket, how he communicates at the line of scrimmage, can those guys stick with the audibles, all the different calls that are made in preseason games? Very important. Don't underestimate how important it is just to be live reps on the field.
All right, that's going to be key. Speaking of dress rehearsals, our next stop is Pittsburgh, home of the most hotly contested quarterback battle in the NFL. The Steelers host the Lions in their final preseason game on Sunday. As Mitchell Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, they're going to make their final case for the starting gig. So, Jeremy, you're really plugged in Pittsburgh. What's the latest on this quarterback battle?
Well, Mitchell Trubisky has continued to hold firm on the job, but he can't get too comfortable, and he's known that throughout the process. So he knows he has to produce. He will likely start the game at this point. Kenny Pickett will play. Mason Rudolph might not play. They've seen a lot from him. They know what he can do. And so they're juggling a lot of different situations in Pittsburgh, trying to find out, is Pickett ready now? And the feeling around the league is that Trubisky will be the guy, but that Kenny Pickett is coming on, at least making it interesting. He has another strong game, three straight. You know, could give Mike Tomlin something to think about Monday morning on Tuesday, but still right now, all signs are that Mitchell Trubisky will be the guy.
Okay, so Sam, who should be the week one starter, given that? In Pittsburgh.
I think it should be Trubisky, and part of the reason why is because of his mobility. We've seen the offensive line issues with Pittsburgh, at least so far this preseason. We know what they were last year. Mitch Trubisky has the mobility to move around and to avoid some of the sacks that Kenny Pickett may or may not take. Now, granted, Kenny Pickett has also looked good this preseason. There are some throws where he's had pressure in his face and he's made the perfect pass. And so I just look at O-line. I look at pressure, I look at mobility early in the season, and not to mention the fact that you're going to get different looks, different types of blitzes and pressures when the regular season does in fact start. I think for that reason you start with Trubisky.
Okay, and then on Pickett's side, Jeff, what do you want to see from him in this next preseason game?
Yeah, decision making. Listen, he holds the ball. Like, I mean, in the FBS last year, he held the ball for over 3 seconds. And to Sam's point, defenses are not going to allow you to do that in the NFL. You have to be able to make the decision, process, and get rid of the ball. It's not just about the arm. It's not just about the throws. There are a lot of dudes who can spin the ball. There are a lot of dudes who can make these throws. They'll never play on Sunday because it's the processing, coupled with that type of mentality. So when I'm looking at processing and the throws, that's what I want to see from him. Continue to develop that part. Listen, he has done the things that he's supposed to do. He has made the most of every opportunity. So you know that he's an ascending quarterback. He will be the starting quarterback for the Steelers sooner rather than later. But I don't think for week one is where he really is. I think he still needs to develop. Again, see some of those defenses that are really giving you some junky looks, some things you're not expecting, and how does he process that?
Jeremy, as you look at what he's coming up to this weekend, what do you think about the workload he might have versus Trubisky as this all plays out?
Well, certainly they'll get him in there fairly early. They want to see a pretty big sample size, especially if Mason Rudolph does not play. Last week, he just had a few series that got him in and out. He did the two-minute offense. So they'll want to see him in different looks. Mike Tomlin wants to put him in different situations, sometimes adverse situations. Maybe he'll run with the first-team offensive line or even second-team wide receivers. They'll mix and match some of that, and he could get some looks against the first-team Lions defense. So Mike Tomlin's goal throughout this process has to give everybody really a full scope to see what they can do in several different situations.
Get the information in, but I can imagine, sit them down, let them learn, have Trubisky out there and see how things play out. Might be the direction they take. All right, thanks, guys. Time to get ready for some college football. Desmond Howard back with us. Sam Acho joining in. So let's play a little game of fact or fiction. Sam, Ohio State will reach the national title game. Fact or fiction?
That is a fact. And I heard what Des said earlier about their defensive issues last year late in the season. They have a new defensive coordinator. Last year, Ohio State was 59th ranked in defense. Well, their new defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles from Oklahoma State, led a top five ranked defense. We know about the talent at Ohio State. They were the number one offense last year. Their defense will be significantly better. That's why they will be in the national championship.
Des, Bryce Howard should be considered the favorite to win the Heisman again. Fact or fiction?
Ryan, I think that's a fact. I like Bryce Young to be the favorite because it's one of those rare instances where the Heisman Trophy winner returns for another year of college football. So just because of that fact alone, I believe he should be the favorite. He should be the front runner. He's earned that distinction from what he did a year ago, being able to hoist that Heisman Trophy, the stiff arm trophy. So I'm saying fact.
Okay, and Sam, Georgia will repeat as national champions. Fact or fiction?
Oh, that's fiction all the way. There are so many players on that national championship team that are now currently in the NFL. Number one. Number two, I don't think Alabama will allow it. And number three, we talked about that Ohio State team that is on this revenge tour, as is Alabama. I think you have two teams that will be there before you pick Georgia.
Georgia fans don't like you this morning. At Caesars, you can play a prop of Alabama, Ohio State, or Georgia to win the title versus the field. You would have to bet 380 to win 100 if you have a national champion being one of those three favorites, compared to 100 to win 290 for any other team to win the title. So, Des, those are the big three, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia. If there's one team, though, one team that could crash the party, who is it?
Guys, I don't know why people are disrespecting Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies. You got to go with Texas A&M. I mean, he's been stacking these classes, these number one classes, top five classes, year after year after year. They know physically in the trenches they can match with Alabama. And then they got skill in the backfield, on the perimeter. I don't see why people are consistently disrespecting Texas A&M. They're going to have a big game week three against the Miami Hurricanes. At that point, we'll see where both teams are in this 2022 season. But I think the Texas A&M Aggies can crash the party.
What do you think?
I don't think A&M could crash the party. If you said disrespecting, I mean, well, they were 8-4 last year, right? 4-4 in their conference. And so, and their questions at quarterback as well. And so I think that's
why. But they beat Bama, man. They beat Bama.
They did beat Bama, but they lost the four other teams. And so, like, you can't be a four-loss team expecting to make it into the playoff. That's my issue. And the questions at quarterback
is my issue. That's last year. That's last year. That's
nothing
to do with 2022. That's last year.
Who was their quarterback, Des?
All right, that's how tight it's going to be. All right, so wait, let me ask you this. Bama preseason number one, why might they be vulnerable this season, Dez?
Well, because, you know, you have and Sam can attest to this, once you have a year of film study on a particular player, especially a quarterback like Bryce Young, you know the target is big on his back because he's the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. But now defensive coordinators, they really have some film to study and see what some of his tendencies are. And don't forget, they lost some big weapons out there on the perimeter too. So because of those factors, I think that, you know, it's going to be incumbent upon Bryce Young to play better than he did a year ago. You know, you can't throw a 5-yard slant and then have a guy take it 90 yards. I mean, we haven't seen that yet from their receiving core. So I believe that they may be a little bit vulnerable because now they have to be a little more methodical in the way that they march down the field and score points.
Okay, so it's a challenge. That's the challenge they might face. Sam, give us one team that bounces back this season that could be a legit postseason contender.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as saying legit postseason contender, but I think bounce back team is Texas. Last year, they were 5-7. They lost 6 in a row. There are still many, many a question mark, but I think some of the answers could be provided in Gary Patterson at defensive coordinator. So you have a defensive coordinator. The defense was atrocious last year. You bring in a new defensive mind, not a coordinator, but a defensive mind in the building. There are questions at quarterback with Quinn Ewers, but there are answers at running back. Bijan Robinson is a Heisman candidate, Heisman in the conversation. Xavier Worthy was one of the best freshmen in football last year. And so I think when you were 5-7 last year, there's a major opportunity to bounce back this year.
Okay. Texas grad, like in Texas, right? Okay. So Dez was having some fun with that. What do you think, Dez?
Yeah, it's just really comical to me how you ask him a question and he tweaks it to fit his answer. Like, he doesn't ask, he said, well, they may bounce back, but not be a contender. No, you said a team that's going to bounce back and be a contender. Hey, listen, we're going to learn a lot about Texas week two when Alabama travels to Austin and tassel with the Longhorns. That's going to be a great game. We're going to learn a lot about both teams. So, but that wasn't the question. So, Ryan, make sure that Sam answers the question that you ask him.
Because
he's real tricky now. He's
very tricky.
The question they asked me originally was not about postseason contenders. It was who can be a bounce back. Just so I could, who can be a bounce back. Talk about postseason contender. That's a whole different conversation. A whole different conversation.
Wait, who is your postseason contender? Let me ask you. Then who could do that?
Yeah, well, this isn't a bounce back.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, Des talked about A&M. Okay. About being a team that could be that fourth team in the playoff. A sleeper team that no one's talking about is Baylor. And I think the reason why is you have a team that won the Big 12 last year. They were 12-2, went from 2-7 the year before to 12-2. They're returning Blake Shapen, who's a quarterback who can run more of the offense than Bill Hannon did last year. And so you have a defense that at least is physical and dominant, a team that could win the Big 12, and all of a sudden they might sneak into that conversation. They were 5th or 6th last year, played in the Sugar Bowl. They might sneak into that conversation of being that last playoff team, maybe a one-loss Big 12 champion. Dez, what do you think about that?
You know what? You're 100% right, Acho. I believe that Baylor is a team that people aren't paying a lot of attention to. I love what they bring as far as, you know, and you talked about the quarterback, but they bring a brand of physicality to the gridiron, too, that I respect. So I think that they might be a team that when it's all said and done and the smoke is clear, that they may be one of the 4 last teams standing at the CFP, the College Football Playoff.
I like it. Everyone answering questions perfectly. Perfect segment there, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Well, the college football season starts tomorrow. The 17th annual MEAC SWAC Challenge kickoff game has Howard squaring off against Alabama State, Center Park Stadium in Atlanta. Our celebration begins of the HBCUs at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app. But first, time for a little sneaky hembo time. This one's for Acho. Okay, so who is the Cowboys' all-time leading rusher in a season? It's another one of these ones that I feel like you think you know it, but you probably don't. You know it?
I think I know it, but I probably don't.
Perfect
answer.
I got
something for you, hembo.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, back with a little sneaky info time. Who is everybody's guessing answers right in the studio? Who is the Cowboys' all-time leading rusher in a season?
I don't know. I have no idea. We had a lot of guesses out here. I heard Dorsett. I didn't hear Emmitt Smith, and I wasn't going Emmitt Smith, but that's kind of obvious.
Oh yeah.
I heard DeMarco Murray. I'm gonna go DeMarco Murray. It ain't my answer.
Okay.
Somebody else.
Okay. DeMarco Murray is right.
Nah, I can't take credit. I got to credit to Brandon.
Right.
Brandon,
can I show you? I put DeMarco Murray on my seat.
It ain't me. Don't give me the point. Don't give me the point. Give Brandon the point. It ain't me.
Wait, I'm the one who said it to Brandon.
No, you didn't say it out loud. Oh, man. You just wrote it down.
1,845 yards in 2014. I knew it. It's on this sheet. Yeah, I'm glad, Brandon, that I could give you the answer. That was fun. All right, well, time now for a little game of right or wrong. Jeff, jump in on these. Mac Jones and the Patriots will miss the playoffs. Right or wrong?
Right. Listen, I think this is a tough battle for the Patriots. I think Buffalo is clearly the favorite in this division. I think Miami is going to push them. Unlike Acho, the Jets do play in there. You never know if they give them a tough game, whatever that looks like. But just with the offensive coordinator and who's going to be making the calls, I think there's going to be a little disarray early in the season, so I think they miss it.
Okay. Russell Wilson and the Broncos will make the playoffs, right or wrong?
Wrong. Listen, you got a new head coach, a brand new head coach, a first-time offensive coordinator. Russell Wilson coming to town. Obviously, I like this team. The AFC is just so loaded, y'all. I mean, so you're talking about the division they play in is a gauntlet. I don't think they make the playoffs. I think they make the right strides. I think this team is a year away.
Wow. Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders, right or wrong?
Wrong. I think this is a playoff caliber team. I think I still have them picked to win the division, so I like them there. I question the coaching once they get to the playoffs. When it comes down to it, can they make the right calls? I think they have some good players around them. The offensive line kind of a little disarray with the Tyron Smith injury, but I question the coaching once they get to the playoffs.
Okay, so the coaching, the factor for you. And look, Jerry Jones thinks they're a Super Bowl team. Yesterday on First Take, Jones spoke about Zeke and how this team goes in terms of his star running back. Take a listen.
Now, it is still a fact. We go as Zeke goes. I know it's a lot on Dak's shoulders, but we go as Zeke goes. He's very capable of being everything we've ever wanted to be. The wild card, though, is the guy that's playing beside him, Pollard.
Right.
And so we put Pollard in some plans that with Zeke, right, for the defenses to have to work against midweek and be ready to play.
We go as Zeke goes. That's what everybody's going to be talking about today. So, Jeremy, why is this such a pivotal year in the career of Ezekiel Elliott?
Because the Cowboys can walk away next year and still save some salary cap space. They've had this albatross of a contract for a few years now where they couldn't really get out of it. Next year they can and can save some money. And so the pressure is on him. There have been some questions league-wide about Zeke's explosion for really a few years now. Now, he's only 27 years old, so he can certainly get that step back that he had early in his career. Cowboys need that in the worst way right now, because not only out Tyron Smith, but they're out two of their top three receivers that won't start the year. They don't really even have a number two receiver right now, so they're going to have to manufacture points and yards.
He's only 27. Feels like he's been around for a decade and a half. So, Jeff, Jerry says they go as Zeke goes. You say what to that?
They go as the O-line goes. That's where they're going to go. Listen, you just heard Jeremy talk about it. With Tyron Smith going out, they haven't decided whether it's going to be ball. They're going to kick the other Smith over, Tyler Smith, the draft pick. Are they going to move him over? But at the end of the day, it's going to be this offensive line. Tony Pollard averaged over 5 yards a carry last year. He is an explosive back. Zeke, we know the struggles that they've had with Zeke, but it all boils down to the offensive line. Can they get push on that line of scrimmage? I would tell you they're the second best offensive line in that division behind the Eagles right now. So there's still concern for me in that area. I love that Jerry's up there. Jerry giving you that. We go as Zeke goes. You go as that offensive line goes. If they can protect Dak and create yards, you'll be successful. If they can't protect Dak, I don't care how much you run it, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say they go as, yes, the O-line, but the guys who run in behind the O-line, not just Zeke. It's also Tony Pollard. During that six-game winning streak, it wasn't just Tony Pollard who averaged 5 yards a carry. It was Ezekiel Elliott as well, which That's is right. followed by that offensive line. And so, Jeff, your point is taken. It's the offensive line, but not just for the running game, but also for protecting your quarterback. So Dak Prescott cannot just sit there, to Jeff's point. Like, this offense isn't one where you have a left tackle who's not able to block and be on an island. You need to get, if you have to get him some help, the offense will be able to run the way you want it to run. And so, yes, you go as Zeke goes. We also go as Tony Pollard goes, but more importantly, you go as the offensive line goes.
Yeah, a lot of things have to go right for this team to be a Super Bowl contender, that's for sure. So we'll see how that all goes. Now, let's talk about some baseball. Rockies taking on the Mets. And the Mets hosting them. And we start with Jacob DeGrom, their man, doing DeGrom-like things. Watch this. Striking out Brendan Rodgers right here. And then Charlie Blackmon in the first. Yep, he goes down. In the third inning, Garrett Hampson, gone. Retired his first 9 batters he faced with 5 Ks on the way. Now, bottom of the third, Mets up 1-0, 1-on, 2-out. Pete Alonso, no doubt about that one. Deep left, 2-run homer, 31st of the year. Mets up 3-0. The polar bear delivering. And DeGrominant. Watch this. Ryan McMahon, gone. And then Blackmon up again, struck him out. And then after giving up a run in a 6 against Blackmon, one more time, down. 6 innings, 9 Ks, Mets go on to win 3-1. Now DeGrom is up to 46 strikeouts on the season. That's tied for the second most by a Mets pitcher in their first 5 starts in a season in franchise history. Trailing only himself with 59 last year. Tomorrow on ABC in the app, we're down to the final 4 teams in the Little League World Series at Williamsport. This has been great, right? International championship game between the kids from Chinese Taipei and Curacao at 12:30 Eastern. Then at 3:30, it's the boys from Honolulu taking on Nolansville, Tennessee in the U.S. title game. The winners play in the championship game Sunday, 3 Eastern on ABC and ESPN app. Well, First Take's coming up next. Should Aaron Donald face discipline for swinging his helmet during a brawl yesterday? Join Molly, Stephen A., Ryan Clark, Sam Acho, all of them next on First Take.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Soccer tonight on ESPN. We have 2 great MLS Western Conference matchups for you. 8 Eastern, first place LAFC takes on second place Austin FC. Then it's a rivalry matchup. Portland hosting Seattle. Both matches on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the app. Okay, so let's finish with our story of the day. That brawl between the Bengals and Rams forced both teams to halt their inter-squad practice on Thursday. Aaron Donald, you see him there, spot shadowed, swinging helmets multiple times during the scrum. I mean, this could end up being a big one. And so, Jeremy, I wonder, the NFL, the team, how are they viewing this today? What's happening?
Yeah, so the NFL puts the onus on the LA Rams to make a decision. Clubs are solely responsible for any discipline from a joint practice. And so I'm told the Rams have reviewed this and they're looking at it. They're having some conversations. Certainly could be a fine that either is kept in-house or the team announces, but no determination yet.
Jeff, we know fights happen at practice, but we talk about conversations. What should the conversations be in these locker rooms right now about these fights?
Yeah, listen, we can't have it. I mean, it's dangerous. You know, swinging your helmet's dangerous for not only him, but for the guys he's hitting. You know, you thank God nobody got injured in this thing, but you hate to see it. I mean, Aaron Donald's the face of our league. And so, you know, you hate this entire situation broke out this way. We want to protect each other. We're all making a livelihood on this game. So you hate to see it. It's unfortunate. Again, Jeremy made the great point about fine, suspension, all those kinds of things, but no place in our game for it. You hate to have it. I'm sure Aaron, whenever he addresses it, will be regretful about what he did as well.
Yeah, what do you another part of this, I have to say, Jeff, this is practice. We know that fights break out. Do you think that there should be more rules on practices?
No.
That maybe if something like this breaks out, that we should be able to have some sort of penalty structure?
No. Listen, we most of the time you're going to get your own team anyway. There are fights that happen in amongst your own team. Listen, I would be lying if I said that's the first time I've seen a helmet be swung in a practice. So, but you know, again, there's no place for it. It is dangerous. You don't want to see it. You don't want kids watching it, copying this thing. So there's a lot more to this. It's disappointing, but no, the league doesn't need to get involved. The team's going to handle it, and they'll handle it appropriately. You know, from as far as the league getting involved in practices, teams need to take care of their own business. Tony Dungy, he fined us as it were a game. If we fought in practice, we got fined that $15,000 and had to, you know, had to deal with it. Got ejected from practice because he was like, "Look, you're prepping for a game. It's not quote practice. It's preparation for a game. So if you can't control yourself in practice, I don't think you control yourself in the game." And that's how he handled it.
Yeah, this weighs heavily on coaches around the league because they love these joint practices. They feel like they get more value out of this in some cases than preseason games because it's a controlled environment where you can stave off injury. But they are scared to death of these type of situations. I was at Jets-Giants joint practice yesterday. They cut it off after about 85 minutes. Wanted nothing to do with any potential issues. So that's how it goes right now. They got to figure this out.
Yeah, they're like they had a vanilla practice thinking, let's just play the game, get off, no controversy. All right, thank you so much. Appreciate seeing you. First Take starts now.